Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. As we are going to be, having a really good time today. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are also rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm as on Sundays at 3 p.m. And we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. So we encourage you to check out those resources as well as those of our guests as we come your way each Saturday here on the program. Well, I'll tell you, there are some things that I want to make you aware of as we are moving through this year rapidly coming to a close. I cannot believe how fast it's happening. That we are encouraging you, we certainly encourage you to listen in. We encourage you to go to the website, listen to the interviews, go to the guests' websites that we are linked to. If you'd like to be a part of what we're doing, we'd encourage that as well. And to that end, I have a page. It's called the Missions page that kind of tells you what we're all about if you don't know. And then we have a page that has the information where you can contribute and you can support the program. So we encourage you to go there. There's a PayPal account. There's a GoFundMe account that goes through PayPal, all secure, all well and good, and we hope that you might be able to do what you can. We'll also accept energetic support, so it's all good in that regard. We encourage you to be a part of that. Today's program is rather interesting, and I'm very excited about that. And to that end, we are going to be talking, again, it's always about a lot of good stuff. I'm always encouraged by the things that our guests are doing. And to that end, I want to introduce our guest on the program here on Tell Me Your Story, Sue London. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. And you are coming to us today. This is our first interview doing this. You're coming to us today via Skype.
I am. How cool is this, eh?
This is...
Hear my Canadian accent coming out already.
I was just going to ask, are you from Canada?
I am, and I don't always say that, so it's so funny.
Well, this is actually quite fun because of the fact that we have a much better quality signal. It sounds so much better, and it's just the wave of the future, as they say.
It is, yeah, that's for sure.
Now, we've been covering a lot of interesting subjects over the years. We have. We have tried to bring to people's awareness the various events that are going on and aspects of metaphysics and spirituality. I've noticed since 2012, and the whole Mayan thing has kind of blown over. And I was telling people, look, you remember Y2K? Vaguely good, because that's what you're going to think of the Mayan calendar in December 21st, 2012. You'll remember it vaguely. As you should, because what we were doing during the years preceding was trying to squelch the fear. I mean, there was a lot of it out there. Movies didn't help and websites didn't help. I mean, I came across one where one woman said 97% of the population was going to be wiped out on December 21st. And I was a toss-up as to whether or not I wanted to stay or go. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I'm intrigued about the other side, but by the same token. So... but I'm noticing now that the subject matter seems to be shifting.
It is.
It's focusing more on the issues of the soul. Mm-hmm. Are you, you've been picking up on that as well?
I have. And, you know, I'm seeing people now have shifted that they're working much more differently. It's not about a materialistic world anymore. It's about, you know, working together in business. And yeah, I just see, I don't know how to explain it, but I would say, to give an example, the old me would work hard, many hours. And then I started, you know, shifting myself to working in a way where having the more balance and, you know, having that quality time with my family, spending time with my grandchildren. If I felt that I needed to do this, I would do that. And I am one that I do a lot of work with angels, and I'm a psychic medium. And I put it out and I ask my angels to be my assistant. and I'll ask them to do, bring me what I need, or, help me with this or this kind of stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? As an example. And that's how I'm seeing more in the world are working now. They're working from a spiritual way. They're asking, and our loved ones on their side, they're connecting more. They're going more within their soul, and becoming more attuned, and going within and asking their questions. And that's what I really, really like. And I've really enjoyed seeing people grow and doing this past year.
I know that I asked this question of our regular guest, a Vedic astrologer, and he teaches people how to run their own charts and so forth.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, but aren't you kind of, working yourself out of a job? And he says, well, with 7 billion people on the planet, I think that'll be a long time in coming.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, isn't that really what it's about? We have been told over the centuries that we have to turn to somewhere outside of ourselves, another group, another person, another institution. And now it seems to be going back the other direction, more accurately and correctly, that we need to be going within.
That's right. Yeah. And my story was that years ago I had Crohn's disease, and I was in and out of hospitals, and I was having doctors tell me, I had to have a colostomy, have my bowel removed at the age of 26, have a bag attached to me. And I just knew that wasn't right. But I kept saying, well, I'm going to ask somebody else's opinion. I'm going to ask somebody else's opinion. And situations kept coming up and up for me more and more to make me be in that position of going within. And I'm glad I do. And I never turn to another person now and ask them. I always go within myself. And it's really, it's a much better life. You're not feeling that stress or that worry or the anxiety. Things flow better because only you know what's right for you. And I'm proud to say that I don't have to deal with those doctors anymore because I'm disease free. So that's my happy ending.
Well, and of course, it's not over yet.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm noticing too that a lot of folks, and over the years in the interviews that we've had on this program, guests we've had on, have gone through some pretty amazing and rather astounding, in a matter of speaking, miraculous events. You take a listen to the first part of the story going, why are you still alive? And yet they are still alive and kicking and doing well and out there making a difference.
Well, and I know for me, like my history, I think you know it. I was diagnosed as having Crohn's disease and told it was incurable. And I'm very strong-willed, and I thought, no, if there's going to be a way, I've got the will, so I'll find the way. And I did go on to cure that disease. And when I was going through that journey, I also had a doctor tell me that when I became pregnant with my second child, the Crohn's disease at that time flared up, and my weight went down to just 80 pounds. And the doctor said, okay, make a choice. Either you live, the baby lives, or you're both going to die. So I made the choice of firing my doctor, and I did go on to deliver a healthy baby. And all through the challenges that I had, I was given 30 minutes to live in my life. I was being abused. I was married to somebody who had a girlfriend. I learned later. And we went through divorce. And, through everything I went through myself as well, I always said, why? What was the reason for this? And now, like, I'm in that position where I can help others, get through their stuff. And I can see for myself why it happened. And, everything that I've been through, I really, Richard, I wouldn't change one thing. Because it really made me who I am, and I really appreciate life now. I don't take anything for, I appreciate it. I'm grateful, and nothing is for granted. If I see someone, I tell them how I feel because you never know when you're going to have your last moment with that person.
That's true.
And that's just kind of how I live my life every day now. And
And
it's a good way.
And you said something interesting. You can really fire your doctor? I didn't know you could do
You
that.
know, it is absolutely amazing. You can,
A
and
lot of
boy, is it ever
people,
empowering too. You got to try it one day.
at least once. A lot of people feel like once you've locked into a particular physician, you're locked into that physician for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
that they know all, they have all the answers.
Yeah. And you know, this is something that I really learned along my journey is that we all do have the answers within us. And I'm not saying, you know, if a doctor tells you to take a medication, I'm not telling you don't take that medication. I'm just saying go within. An example of what happened for me the first year that when I was diagnosed with this disease, this is back in, it would be about 1990 when I had this one experience happen. It was close to Christmas time. And a doctor had given me a drug that I had to take because I was so sick with Crohn's disease. And intuitively, I started taking it, and intuitively, I started feeling off. And I knew it wasn't right for me, and I stopped taking it. And of course, the holiday season, we all know you can't get your doctor when you have an emergency, right?
No.
And so I stopped taking this drug, and I went back and I saw him back in like January, came back from holiday, went back, and I said, listen, I stopped taking that. And he said, thank God you did. Thank God that you listened to yourself, because if you had continued it, you would have died. I was actually allergic to that drug. And I had all my family around me telling me, take it, take it, take it. You know, you have to take it. And they were trying to force it into me and that. And I just knew intuitively it wasn't right for me. And thank God I listened to myself. So that's just an example of going within, you know? So.
Well, I think that it's one of the aspects that certainly has led you to the place where you are today. We want to talk more about
Yes.
Who you are today, what you do, but it also precipitated the writing in particular of a book that we're talking about, Soar Above It All.
Yes.
It's interesting. We all like to use different analogies. One that I've heard many times, of course, is the analogy of the pendulum, and you want to work your way up towards the pivot point and not down towards the swinging point. Same kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about how you came to put this together. I mean, obviously, you have the experience, you have the story, but you know, we don't all put it down into print.
You know, everything I've been through from the minute that I was born, November 23rd, 1962, has honest to God, it has been a meant to be. It's been like one step led me to another, and another door opened, and I learned a lesson, and then another door would open. And I really, honest to God, did not think I even had a story. I thought what I went through in my life, that was the normal. I thought everybody had kind of challenges like this. And I don't even know how this really started. I guess it was, I had gone to Toastmasters. It was after my divorce, and I had gone to Toastmasters because I was so at that in that place of being so low in self-esteem, no confidence, shot down. You know, when somebody goes through abuse, you know that those emotions you experience in that personality trait, right? Well, I was in that place, and I had gone to Toastmasters, and I can remember that the first speech I had to give, it's called the icebreaker, and you had to just talk about yourself for 5 minutes. And I stood there and I just shared my story, and I'm looking at people crying, and they're like, wow, you got through all that. And that was the first start of me seeing that what I went through wasn't the normal, like not everybody experienced this. And then one thing led to another, and I first did a book called Rocky's Trip to the Hospital. And that book was based on my dog Rocky coming to the hospital when I was pregnant with that second daughter, when the doctor wanted to abort the baby. And he came and did pet therapy at the hospital. And so that story is a children's book based on that story, and it's for kids. And so I would go in with my dogs, and we would do pet therapy at our local sick kids hospital. And I would read to the kids and share the story, and you know, just help the parents to understand, you know, what it's like when you're sick. Because sharing my story, I had a near-death experience, went to the white light, and I helped the parents to understand that there is more after we cross over, and shared my story. And then people were saying, when are we going to see your story? When are we going to see your book? And that's just, it just kind of came out of me. And I can tell you that it was channeled through me. I would reread what I wrote, didn't know I'd said that. I had my loved ones on the other side reminding me of everything that I'd been through. And it was really a family affair writing that book. So
That's very
that's a short version.
well, and yet it's incredible, and I think that a lot of us don't think that we have those kinds of stories that should be told. And yet we can, each one of us can look back and say, no, that was pretty damn extraordinary.
Yeah.
And what is also extraordinary, and it reminds me of the book that came out back in the 90s, James Redfield's Celestine Prophecy.
I love that book.
He talks about how each one of us has a message, a piece of the puzzle for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's extremely important that we knock down the barriers. I always thought of it in terms of a Star Trek analogy of the shields going up on the ship. Mm-hmm. And if anybody knows anything about that, the interesting thing that happens is that you might be able to fire weapons through the shields,
mm-hmm.
but nothing else can get in or out.
Right. Yeah.
And so if we let down the shields so that we can get those messages, then we get to put the puzzle pieces in there and make them fit the way they need to for each one of us. And we have a message for that other person, too. So each person's story is very important.
You know what happened for me when I came back from the near-death experience? That was at the point when I was given 30 minutes to live. A doctor had told me I had a torn muscle. And I went home and I thought, you know, this seems weird. You know, I thought it was Crohn's related, but wasn't sure. And as the day progressed, the torn muscle, what the doctor called torn muscle, got worse. And I was rushed back to the emerge. And while I was sitting for 3 hours in the emergency waiting room at the hospital, my intestine burst and I collapsed on the floor. And they took me in and they said I had 30 minutes to live because the poison was all going through my system and that. And so when I was in there, I had the near-death experience, went to the white light, was ready to stay there, beautiful place. My grandfather stopped me and said, Susie, you know, you've got to go back. You've got millions of people and animals you need to help. I came back, and when I came back, I can remember laying in the hospital bed, and I started praying and saying thank you to God and everyone surrounding me for giving me life again, and that I was not going to screw up again, and I wasn't going to take anything for granted, and that, you know, I asked for him to guide me, and I would do his work. And you know, it's really interesting because what has happened ever since that experience in 1996 is I'll get a phone call or I'll receive an email and someone will say, you know, we want to have you come down here. We've got a free trip. We need you to come down here. Here's a holiday. Or, you know, can you come down here? Or, you know, we'll get in the car. We'll go for a drive. We might get lost. Something happens, but we're always put in the right place to help somebody. And it's to give them a message or to give them a hug. And I'm remarried now to a wonderful guy. We've been together for 12 years. And it's like we're doing this journey together at helping people. And, you know, it just might be simply to share a hug, but it has just changed so many lives. And I can, you know, proudly say that I am living my mission, and it feels really good to be doing this.
Well, I think that's also the interesting, I'll say, struggle that a lot of folks have too, and that is finding their mission, their purpose in life, that which they know that they should be doing something more than what they're doing.
Yeah.
And yet they can't seem to quite get a handle on that.
It's true. Yeah.
Now, in the work that you do today, and by the way, you are also a radio host.
I am, of your own
program.
I am.
They're in Canada?
It's out of Rhode Island.
Out of Rhode Island. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Rhode Island. Yeah, I'm Canadian and gotta love Skype. I do go down to our station and do public appearances and book signings and remote shows for them and that. But yeah, I'm Canadian. I live in the area, beautiful Niagara region of Southern Ontario, Canada. And I fly down to Rhode Island and do events. And our show's heard on WBLQ, 1230 AM radio.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
How did that begin? Because not everybody has the acumen or the personality, for one, but also in terms of just the overall, there's that fear of speaking in public. Although, if you think about it, on the one hand, when you're behind a microphone in a radio station, as I've been for over 33 years, even though you hope there's somebody listening, it's just you and the equipment.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and that's why I love doing the remote shows, because you get to meet a lot of your fans when you're at the events. I'm pretty blessed. I started, it was kind of, that putting out intention, the power of doing that. When I go back years ago, I was doing coaching with Jack Canfield. He was my personal coach, and he said, put out the intention of what you want for your life. And I said, well, I know my mission is to help people and animals around the world cope, heal, and move forward. Don't know how it's going to happen, but that's my mission. The next thing I know, I get a phone call 2 weeks later to go on a radio show, and it was an internet radio show. And I had been on TV, I'd been on radio, I was a motivational speaker already at this point, and I thought internet radio, oh dear God, because let's say weak on technology, and I thought, what do I press on my computer to make an interview happen? I just didn't know that it was simply picking up a phone and doing the interview. So, anyways, long story short, I went on this show, and the girl s asked me the first question, and I never heard from her again. And I thought, this is really, really strange. And so I just kept hearing, just keep talking, Sue, just keep talking. And basically, I did her whole show myself, didn't know what was going on. We came to the end of the show, and I thought, well, what do I do now? And then she came back and, said her goodbyes. We hung up from the show, and I thought, this is the weirdest interview I've ever done. And she phoned me, and she said, oh, you need to know, I've never had this happen, but my switchboard crashed and you ran my show. Have you ever considered being a radio host? And I said, absolutely not. No way. I don't have time for it. And then I started getting a lot of phone calls, that I had to do this. This wasn't meant to be. So I thought, okay, so if I meant to do this, then again, I started asking all my angels on the other side to, bring me the people who I was supposed to interview and help me to help others. And, we'd work as a team to do this if this was what I was supposed to do. So I started my first show. Gosh, it was 2 months later. And then I was on the internet show there. Then I was picked up with a group network called Transformation Talk Radio. And then I was picked up with WBLQ, the AM station, and now there's two other stations that are carrying my archive show. So I'm syndicated now, and it was all like every guest, they come to me. I don't have to search out for anybody. It's just totally, I'm doing the work of what my mission's all about, and I get fan mail around the world, and it's just really, you're doing the right stuff by the messages that come to me. So
Well, I
very
could,
rewarding.
oh, and it absolutely is and can be. And I mean, the people that you meet, and then when you have guests on that you're talking with, the just the incredible messages that come through, or just the information in general, the inspiration and encouragement that comes through. I often, when doing these programs, I often sort of half jokingly say that. That this hour every week is my therapy session.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I know it is so true. We learn so much from our guests, don't we?
Which, I mean, I've had experiences where my guests have done some unusual things in that, in interviewing one gentleman, I asked him a question that made him cry, but it was tears of joy because of what it made him think of. But I was sitting there while he was all choked up and verklempt, as they say. And I'm going, I didn't mean to make my guest cry. That's not what the show's about, to make my guest cry. But it was still, it was quite, it moved me. I was quite humbled as well. We're talking with Sue London. She is the author of, I think, a pretty neat book. And it's called Soar Above It All. And we're going to continue talking with Sue here in just a couple of moments. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we hope that you will stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we are talking with Sue London, and she is coming to us all the way from, Rhode Island, but that's where the radio program that you host originates from, coming all the way from Canada. And we're so grateful that you have taken time out of, I know what can be a very busy schedule to do these interviews. It takes time. I mean, I'm doing interviews throughout the week sometimes, and sometimes they come together and sometimes they don't because, we have schedules here at the radio station. And I say, oh, I'm sorry, but something else has been scheduled and I have to, that's priority, blah, blah, blah. So yeah. It's not always easy to make these kinds of things happen. But when they do, it's quite extraordinary.
Yes, and it's certainly my pleasure to be here with you.
Let me ask you, thank you. Let me ask you about your abilities.
Okay.
I'm sure that when you first became aware that there might have been some level of apprehension, not in terms of the ability itself, but in terms of finding somebody that you could talk to, and I'm guessing that it might have been somewhat on the scary side, or was this just something that, this is just natural, it's just what I do, no big deal?
Is this around me connecting with angels?
Angels, the whole intuitive aspect.
It was freaky. Let me put it that way. I was a young child, and I would see these, orbs. I guess that's the best way to say it, orbs, mm-hmm. Bubbles. And I would say to people, do you see that? And they thought I was nuts. My hands would heat up. I'm a Reiki master, but I'm like many of us are, a natural healer, even though I am a Reiki master and can teach it in that. But my hands would heat up if somebody had a problem, or animals would come to me and they would, put their body where they needed a healing. And this would happen through my life. And even my parents were having a hard time with it. And I can remember my father calling me a freak because of the way that my hands would heat up. And it really shut me down. Then as I was getting older and I remember doing my Reiki level one Reiki training, and oh my gosh, did the world ever change for me, and it opened me up even more. And I was connecting as I got older more and more with the other side. And it was strange because nobody could help me understand it. I can remember going to our church and saying, is there such a thing as angels? And our minister said, no, that's just in the Bible. And I thought, okay, I'm really messed up here now, but. As I started having more experiences, and I think that really what helped me was when I had the near-death experience and I connected with them on the other side. I saw Jesus standing there in front of me. My grandfather, who was my best friend, my mentor, my hero, he was the one that was chosen to send me back, because if anyone could get through to me, because I was so strong-willed, it was going to be my Grandpa Buck. And it just seemed like from that experience, I connected so deeper. And now I'll sit, and my poor husband, I got to love him. We'll be in the car, and his mother will be in the back seat telling me something to tell him. And he'll say, oh, okay, who's this from now? And this is how we live our life, and our kids roll their eyes and, okay, who's here now, Mom? And this kind of thing. But I'm very open with it, and I've accepted it, and I don't question. When I get a message, I share it. And I know that there's always a reason why I have to say what I say. I don't question it anymore.
Wouldn't it make it easier if your family and friends just said, oh, this is just the way Mom is. It's no big deal.
They do now.
They do. It took some time.
They do now. Yeah. It's interesting because my kids will say, I had a dream of so-and-so. What does my dream mean? Or, Mom, I feel, so-and-so is with me. Are they there? So they kind of turn to me for confirmation. But on the other hand, I'm also, empowering them and saying, who do you think is with you? And getting them to work with themselves at going within to get the answers. And I'm, on my show, when I do my radio show, a lot at the end of my show every week, I'll do like a life lesson that I'm getting my listeners to learn how to connect with their loved ones as well. So, that's where I know I should be doing now, is empowering more people to connect with their loved ones, because we all can do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say loved ones, are you speaking specifically and exclusively of the loved ones of a human variety, or are you able to connect with the animal kingdom in that respect?
Oh yeah, animals big time, very much animals a lot. I'm a huge animal person, and it's really interesting because my husband and I had a house built that we just moved in. Actually, it's coming up a year, and we had lost a dog before. It was in the May and earlier in the year. And when we moved in the house, her name was Molly. I was thinking a lot about her. And I was kind of getting a little bit choked up when we walked through the front door of our new house because we knew she wasn't going to be coming with us when we moved out of our old house. And I knew that before we lost her. And we came in the house, in the new house, and I just kept hearing, "Go and open this box." And I would open the box, and it was Molly's blanket that we had packed before we lost her. And this kept happening the whole day that I'd hear, "Go here," and I would unpack her dog dish. And I thought, okay, well, why did I pack that? Like, this was all done before we lost her, right? And then she finally appeared, and our other two dogs were wagging their tails, and they play with her. And my dog Spot, who I had as a child, and my dog Rocky, they're all in our house with our two other dogs on this side, Willie and Gus. And Molly was, reassuring me that she was still going to be with me even at this house. And it's a really good feeling. And even as I'm talking to you now, I can see all my puppies at my feet now, and they're a really great support team for me. So.
Well, it's. I think that, well, we're very much animal people with seven cats and two large dogs, and we foster kittens locally.
You have a zoo, my friend.
Is that what that is?
I think
I was
so.
trying to figure out what that was.
It's a zoo.
It can be. On some days, it is, without a doubt, it is a zoo.
Yeah,
But I
it's
have
great
to
though.
say,
It's
it
great.
is,
I would love to have that.
and I wish I had more time. I mean, that's one of the most frustrating aspects of it is that, well, you got to work and you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you try to make the time and you do the best you can and you want to spend it. I mean, if I didn't have to work, I'd spend more time with there with them. Caring for them, playing with them, and all that kind of stuff. But you got to go out, and you've got to come up with what you need to for the dog food and the cat food and the litter and all those kinds of things. And it all comes together. The universe provides without a question of a doubt. But what I'm finding is just how important animals are in our lives.
Oh
I
my
mean,
gosh.
they're it's almost like, how can you not have an animal in your life?
Oh, I know. You know what's interesting? I didn't know that people knew this about me. I only hire people that are animal lovers, and I will let my animals interview the people. That's how I have a staff. And one lady came to me and she said to me, "I like dogs." And I said, "That's great." And she said, "Well, I heard that if your dogs don't like me, I don't get a job with you." And I thought, this is so funny. But the animals are so intuitive. And my whole healing journey is all because I had a dog, a little Shih Tzu at my side named Rocky. And when I was little, I had a dog named Spot. And I got her when I was two. She had a little spot on her butt. And it was funny because when I look back at all the animals I've had, I had Spot growing up and marrying my first husband, who turned into being abusive, having girlfriends and that. And my dog Spot used to bite him and attack him every time he would come near. And I've learned that animals, from a little girl, I did not put it all together, but animals really do guide us and tell us, that they can sense the personalities, who's good for us, who's not. And I, when I was still kind of questioning myself, I'd turn to the animals, and they're always right on the nose. I couldn't be without one. I don't know how people could not have an animal, for sure.
I know that for a period of time, and I usually don't bring it up now anymore, but my folks, my father in particular, he sometimes questions why,
Okay.
And I have to wonder if maybe that's more because even though he tells me about some of the things, it's funny, ever since I've moved away, moved here to Santa Barbara, I've learned more about him than when I was with him in his first 75 years. I found out that he had chickens, which we had up until December of last year, 2012, and so on and so forth. And I think maybe what happens with some folks is they have such traumatic experiences. It's like, I don't know. I don't know why you're doing that because you don't want to go through. And I know good and well that when you get, like in the case of, say, a puppy,
yeah,
the puppy's only going to live for 7 to 10 to 12, to whatever the breed is.
Yeah.
And one day that's going to happen, but that's such a small part of the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
It's not something you focus on.
No. And, you know, I have, like, every animal that I've had has been a huge teacher for me, a huge support system, got me through so much in my life. And it's really interesting because I hear from people, I'm not getting another dog. I'm not getting another cat because I lost mine. And, you know, the dog that got me through all my challenges, Rocky, little Shih Tzu, he was hanging on for dear life because I didn't want to let him go. And the time had come, you know, he had found his replacement, his health started going downhill, he'd found my Mr. Right, right? And it was me that had to be the strong one and call the vet. And it was really interesting because it was the biggest lesson that I learned. And the vet came to our home. My husband, Ross, was at my side, and it just felt right that we were all in our home, and my dog, Molly, was there beside her friend, Rocky, you know, saying goodbye. I was holding Rocky, and the vet started to get the final needle together to give him, and then he said, you know, anything you want to say to your dog, say it now. And I gave Rocky a kiss on the top of his head, and I said, I love you, and I thank you for everything you've done for me and my life. And of course, we're all crying at this point, and I'm getting teary-eyed just telling you about this story from 2001. And what happened, as soon as I said that, I had let go of him, and he died instantly in my arms. He crossed over immediately. And the vet did not have to give him that shot. So it was really a powerful time for me of showing me, you know, that unconditional love that he gave me so much, and it was time for me to let him go. And then what happened a couple of weeks after that, I was, again, I am normally able to connect with the other side, right? But I was grieving so much for this dog, missing him and just focusing on what I didn't have. And I can remember saying to Ross that I, you know, just don't know how I was going to go on without this dog because he just did so much for me, even though I had Mr. Right in my life. And what happened on Christmas Eve, Ross had said to me, I have a gift for you. Now, this is 3 weeks after we'd lost Rocky. And he said, it's the strangest thing. I was really, you know, had this pull to go in this store. I went in this store and I had to buy you this gift, but I'm feeling I need to give it to you before Christmas Day. Well, what happened? I opened it, and what it was a blue candle holder, and it was three angels. And when I opened that, right away in front of me appeared my grandfather with Rocky at his side and my guardian angel. The three of them appeared in front of me. And that helped me to reconnect to Rocky again. And now, you know, ever since that day, I've reconnected with him. But that's, you know, a powerful lesson that, you know, people grieve so much about the loss of their pet. Their pet is with them, but they're grieving so much they miss that. You know, that was a powerful lesson for me.
Hmm.
Very powerful.
It is. You've heard the saying that as long as one person remembers that the one that passed, they will stay alive. And so on the story of that one to others keeps that person alive, or that animal alive, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting philosophy in that respect.
It's true.
Yeah. Is this something that I've asked this before of others that you are constantly getting the input? Are you able to, I don't want to say turn it on and turn it off, but to at least ebb the flow, if you will, at times?
Well, if there's a message that I'm supposed to get, there's no stopping them. It comes through. And it can be day or night. They seem to like to give me messages in the middle of the night. And I can find that I might have an hour sleep sometimes.
Yes, start sleeping during the day. Start sleeping during the day.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because you would think you'd be tired the next day, but I'm so energized.
Yeah.
And I find what happens for me a lot the day before I do a radio show, I get all kinds of messages of what questions I'm supposed to ask my guest, or who's going to be listening and what I have to say as the little lesson I'm teaching at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll hear one night what happened. We have Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the old shows. So we have the Netflix as our TV just because I don't like what all these, what do you call them? Like they're those reality shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so yep. I was laying in bed one night and I was watching an old movie, Doris Day movie, and all of a sudden the Netflix stopped working. And all of a sudden my husband Ross's grandmother appeared and she said, "Now, Sue, you need to get some sleep. I'm not letting you have Netflix in your bedroom until you start going to bed earlier." And she took it away from me for about a month.
Oh, wow.
Until I said I'd go to bed earlier.
I think
so. You know, so this is kind of like what happens for me when if there's a message that I need to get, they will give it to me. I can be out anywhere, and if I start having a strong Southern accent, then all my loved ones around me know mom or friend, you know, is giving a message to somebody that's pretty important. And I would say, no, I cannot shut it off.
Mm.
That's the best way to say it.
And so you've learned over time that there are certain clues that tell you that, something is coming through.
Yes.
Even if you're not, conscious of it per se. In other words, you're not hearing it or seeing it. You're some sign, if you will, happens. Like
Absolutely.
You say, the Southern accent and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because when we were looking for our location for our new house to be built, Ross and I were in the car and his parents were in the back seat on the other side, right? They're in angel form. And I just kept looking at them and they're smiling. And I said, "Oh, Ross, you know, your mom and dad are with us." And we just put out the intention that we wanted to be guided to where our new home was going to be. And we were just open to where we were supposed to be going and watching for signs in this. And we're driving and Ross kept talking and he kept saying, "Winona." And I said, "Who's Winona? What am I missing here? Like, why do you keep saying that?" And it wasn't even being said in a proper context in a sentence. And I'm looking at his parents in the backseat. They're just grinning ear to ear. And he said, "What are you talking about? I'm not saying Winona." It was channeling through him and he didn't even know it. We cross over the hill. We come to a sign saying, "Welcome to Winona." And we had found our new home. We go into this area where they were building homes. It was a development. There was one lot left. And that lot was 49. It was the same age of me. And I turned back, like looked in the back seat, and his parents said to me, "Welcome home." And that was our home.
Oh, wow.
And it's just been incredible. So, you know, everything that we do, we are guided. And it's just a matter of we, you know, tap into that. And, you know.
Well, I can honestly say that I haven't quite had those kinds of experiences, although the closest thing would be more the deja vu, but it's not in connection with any external source as far as others from the other side communicating, at least as far as I know.
Okay.
I mean, I can't say either way because I haven't really had that experience, but I do remember a television program called The Ghost Whisperer that was on for some time, and I
Yes.
often wonder, I mean, I knew then. I even knew then because I've been involved in studying and questioning in terms of the spiritual and metaphysical aspects of our world, that those who have passed on do try to communicate. They do want they have messages for us and so forth. They want to help us.
Yeah.
You know, there's a great beneficence there, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like, okay, I can't deny that it happens just because I haven't had the experience.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how does one or is it really important? I mean, if you're meant to be the one who mm-hmm. is to be the, and I use the word channel in a loose
yeah.
sense in this context.
Yeah.
Is that what you if you're called to do it, fine. It's not something you should necessarily seek out to be or to do?
It just happens, honestly. I get a feeling, like as an example, I had this really strong feeling this one year that I had to do a talk in this one specific area of our area of our by our home. And I got a phone call from this woman that happened to be in that area where I was drawn to feeling I needed to speak. And she said they were looking for a speaker for Valentine's Day. And I thought, Valentine's Day, you know, that's normally, you know, our day, you know, my husband Ross and I have a day. But then right away, my thought shifted that this is important that Ross and I have to help somebody on this day. So I talked it over with Ross and I said, "What do you think? You know, I've been asked to do an event and I really feel like I need to do this. And he said, yeah, I feel you need to go as well. So what happens for me when I do a speaking event, you got an audience in front of you, but I don't just see the audience. I see all their loved ones with them that are wanting to get messages to them. And so I'm standing up on this podium, and I saw this boy. He had his hand on his mother's shoulder, and he was saying, tell mom I'm sorry, but I am okay now. And this mother was just a mess. He had committed suicide on Valentine's Day a year earlier, and it was the first anniversary, and she was absolutely in a devastated, beyond state. And so, you know, I was giving the same talk I give over and over, and my husband comes and he says every time it is honest to God, different, with a different message, same context, but I get a very strong Southern drawl. And he said, you know, that he knew that there was some messages I had to get out. And for that event, I had to talk to this woman about having the near-death experience and talking about what it was like on the other side with peace and love. And I had about 10 people at that event come up to me and say, how did you know I needed to hear that? And I just let it channel through me and share what their loved ones needed. And it was very rewarding for them. And I know that's what I'm to do. And it happens without me controlling it or not.
Have you ever had a time when you wish it would stop?
No, honestly, because I just see what it does for people. When I first started telling people, they would question it, but I think they were picking up about me questioning what I was saying, you know. And I remember the first time this happened, it was a friend that I'd gone to school with from kindergarten on. And I said, you've got a necklace that is broken in your drawer. That's your grandma's favorite necklace. And she said, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's not right. My grandmother always wore pearls. And when she told me that, I thought, I questioned myself. I shut it down for probably a good 2 years because I thought, I'm going nuts. I started believing what people started telling me. And so then what happened, an experience happened. I don't even remember what it was, but all of a sudden somebody came up to me one day and said, you do have the gift and you need to know that that necklace that was broken in that drawer, it was the favorite necklace, but because it was broken, she never wore it. And that's why she wore the pearls. And so that really helped me get back on track. And then it's just like I'd get this message for somebody and I'd share it. They would end up hugging me and crying and say, I've waited, I've prayed for an answer like that. How did you know? And thank you so much. And I just know that's what I need to do. And I let it flow through me.
Well, I think that we can all take a lesson from that in respect to the various gifts that we're given, that we need to allow them to come through.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a feeling that, because it sounds to me like...
Is there a message in there for you too, Richard?
Well,
maybe?
Well, possibly so. Possibly so. But I will disregard any knowledge of this conversation until somebody plays it for me. But no, I think that in that respect, because the universe, and I'll even say that the spirit world, can be very persistent, it sounds.
They can be.
They don't give up very easily. Matter of fact, I don't think they give up at all.
No, they don't.
But the funny thing is as persistent as they are, it's still your choice.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, because I know the messages that I give, like I can tell you if I'm doing... anything like around the house or whatever, maybe like doing laundry or something, I'm not getting a message, you know. It's not like 24/7 that I'm getting the messages. I get them when they're needed to come through. Or I'll like with my kids, I'm very connected to my kids. And what will happen is if I haven't been speaking with them for a couple days, which is, you know, we normally speak every day, I might feel in my body what's going on with them. Like maybe they have a sore throat or they've got a cold or something. And I'm very connected with them. That I work on protecting myself with, because I'm very sensitive of picking up people's stuff. That I really, you know, protect myself more with that. But I'm always getting a message that, you know, if it comes to my kids, like, you need to call so-and-so now, and I'll call. Or, you know, if it's not that important, then it doesn't come through right away.
That is, I think that's great advice. I know that. We don't seem to realize how impacted we are by the outside world. And when I say outside world, I mean outside of our physical bodies, mm-hmm. by that world, by other people. And that's why I encourage people to exercise discrimination. There's nothing wrong with that. You have every right to choose who you wish to associate with and who mm-hmm. you choose not to associate with. It's entirely up to you.
Yeah. And you know what was really interesting along this journey? My personality has always been, I want to help the world. I mm-hmm. want to make a difference. If someone's in a bad state, I want to help them. I, with my animals, love them to bits. And I would do anything for my animals. And my one dog, I was laying in bed one night and I was really connecting with him. And all of a sudden, my left side of my body went numb. And I said to Ross, I said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think there's something wrong with somebody right now because I've lost all feeling in my left side. I think someone's just had a stroke. And he's like, oh, dear God, Sue, I have to call 911 and we have to get you to the hospital. And I said, no, it's okay. It's not me, but I'm picking up this from somebody.
Yeah.
And so it turned out to be one of our dogs. And I was guided to, you know, it happening, and it was happening to our little Shih Tzu, Willie. And I went and I picked him up and I said to him, oh gosh, Will, if I could take this from you, I will. Big mistake. I took on his stroke and he got better really quickly. And he's still with us. This is like 3 years later. And I ended up having to go to a friend who did like this energetic treatment on me to release that, what I took on of his stuff. And ever since that, I really watch the words that I say. Mm-hmm. I never say, I will take this on because you will do that. Mm-hmm. And I really protect my energy and, pull my aura in. And when I get tired, I realize, okay, I got out too far. So I'm really becoming more and more focused on how much I'm giving, how much energy, where my aura is. That was a huge lesson for me. And thank God for the dog teaching it. It didn't get
absolutely.
Any worse.
Well, I'm rereading a book now that talks about how the only time that should ever be attempted is by an advanced yogi or master, because they will take that on and they will transmute it and transform it into energy and release it. They won't take on the actual illness, but they have done that. And we've seen that with other animals too. I find it fascinating the different types of, I'll call them service animals, because it's not just service dogs anymore, who have an innate ability. Mm-hmm. To find individuals. Well, you heard about the story about a cat? I think it was a cat in a hospital.
Okay.
Who went from room to room, and every time he went into a room and sat up on top of the bed, mm-hmm. That patient died. Now, it wasn't the cat that was killing them, but the cat was cluing in on the disease that this person had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, our dogs are certified pet therapy dogs.
Really?
We rescue all our animals from shelters mm-hmm. or if they've been abandoned or that, and, you know, give them love. I give them Reiki massages daily. And it's interesting because our one dog, Willie, every time we go for a walk, he will pull on the leash to get to somebody. And we have a man in our neighborhood that just sits outside every day on a lawn chair. He's an older man, and Willie always pulls to go to him. and I just follow his lead, and he's sensing something, and I feel that he's giving this man the love that he's missing mm-hmm. and helping him to prepare to cross over. And, you know, our other dog, he'll go to the kids who are upset, and he'll sit with them and put his head on their lap when they're crying, and they'll stop crying if they're sad or that. It's just amazing what I've seen these animals of ours do.
Well, it is said that they are more connected because they don't have all of these filters that we have, that we've created since childhood.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you want to hear an interesting story. I was doing a book signing at a bookstore, and I was promoting the Healing Power of Pets at this event, and Willie was with me, the little Shih Tzu. And I was holding him in my arms, and this lady and man came in, and Willie started just pulling, like, out of my arms, reaching out towards this lady. And now, my husband kind of was rolling his eyes at this point, and I said, okay, you know, Willie needs to go. This lady, he feels that she needs some pet therapy. And Ross like, oh no, here we go again, right? And so I went over to the lady. I said, excuse me, can you pat my dog? Because he's a pet therapy dog and he's sensing that you need some pet therapy. And all of a sudden she took Willie in her arms and he started licking her and she started crying. And she said, I have a secret I have to tell you. I have not told anybody this. And she started to share that her mother had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And this was about 6 months ago. And she had not told anyone because she was so ashamed of it. She was ashamed as the daughter. And it was killing her. And while I'm holding, like helping her with Willie, and she's crying, telling me the story, her husband is standing with Ross and he's saying, I don't know what your wife and dog are doing, but my wife, we have tried counseling for her. We have tried all kinds of stuff to get her to open up, just to tell somebody what's going on, just to admit it, to come to terms with it. And it's your wife and dog doing this. So that's just the power of what an animal can sense. You know, sometimes we question, why do they want to go to somebody? But there's always a reason for it. And it was such a healing day for that lady, just to hold Willie and him lick her and her share, you know. So,
And it may seem like something really small. I mean, to us as the observer, it's like, well, that's no big deal. But the reality is it's bigger than you think.
Yeah. It's huge. You know, even like this dog, Molly, that we lost before we moved, she decided to cross over during a live radio show I was hosting. When she was there, when Rocky had crossed over in my arms, and I said at that day, I don't ever want to have to be there when I lose an animal again. I want them to just die peacefully in their sleep. And from that day on for years, I'd say to Molly, okay, Molly, just promise me, you know, I don't have to go through this with you again. You're just going to go in your sleep. And I don't want to have to take you and go through this. So what happened? She was full of cancer for a good year. And I would do Reiki on her, oh gosh, every few hours, every day. And she'd come over and wherever she was in pain, I would work on her, but she would never show her pain to me. This was the amazing part. And she had these growths on her. And I just, you know, kept hearing that she was full of this cancer and there was nothing that could be done for her. And that when the time was right, she would go. And I had talked to one of my guests. I was pre-screening a guest, and he just right away, out of the blue, says, okay, you have an animal that's ready to go. You need to ask that animal what you still need to learn, because until you learn it, they're going to hang on. And I thought, okay. So I finished the call with him, and I went to Molly, and I said, okay, what do I need to still learn from you? And she told me, and so I said, okay. And so I sat with that. This is about an hour before my show at this point, right? I thought, what could it do an hour before my show? So then I went downstairs and was getting all ready, and I put her outside, and she came in and she was shaking. She had these ulcers had burst. She was covered in blood. I could not even kiss the top of her head. She was showing her pain that much. And I said to Ross, you know, I think she needs to get to the vet. It's time. Her and I, we connected, our eyes connected, and we were both crying. And I thought, this is 15 minutes before I have to do a show. And Ross called the vet, and the vet said, no, she needs to come now. She can't go in an hour and a half. And as you know, when we have to do a live radio show, you got to be on the air. You can't just say, oh, hold it, right? And so I'm on the live radio show, and I said to my producer, Molly's just gone to the vet. And he's like, and I got to deal with you. And I said, okay, you know, if I get choked up, then just cover for me. So the guest that was on the show that night was a woman who was helping people to tap in to their inner self and become aware of their surroundings. Perfect show for this, right? So we're into the show, and I'm starting to feel nauseous, and I'm, you know, really, Molly's on my mind. I'm seeing all the animals around me, and I'm just feeling exactly what she's going through, even though I'm not beside her. And I said to my producer, we got to go to commercial break. I just need to get a drink of water. And so when we were on commercial break, I was saying what I was experiencing. And my guest said, yeah, that she was feeling that Molly was kind of fighting crossing over. She's like they're ready to go, but she's kind of fighting it. So we all start during the commercial break. My producer, my guest, and I are visualizing she's crossing over with peace and ease. Come back from the show or the commercial. We're back on the show. All of a sudden, I ask the question to the guest. The guest is answering the question. I look up in the top corner of my office room. There is Spot and Rocky and Molly. And Molly said, I want you to know I'm okay. I'm healthy. I'm whole again. I love you. I will always be with you. And I'm so happy to be back with my friend Rocky again. This is all during a live show. And I kind of got choked up, took a drink of water, and I sent like a Skype message, said, Chris, you have to ask the next question. The dog just came to me and he's like, oh my God. And so then I got myself together and then finished the show. And then we talked about it. And the next week I shared with all the listeners exactly what I was experiencing. And we had so many calls and emails come in from around the world of people, you know, feeling so grateful for me sharing that, because many of them had had similar experiences, but didn't know if it was real or not. And it kind of confirmed what they had gone through was the real deal. So again, another meant to be, right? So
that's just extraordinary. And those kinds of things happen more often than not, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to say that it is a privilege. I've had the privilege of being with animals as they are transitioning,
yeah,
on a couple, three, four occasions. A couple of them were where we had to make the decision. And then another where we actually took our cat into the vet and they ran some quick, short tests and so forth. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, we could run blood tests and this and that and the other thing, but by the time we got the test results back, your cat will probably already be gone. So we chose not to go that route. And I think it was either that night or a few nights later, we actually were holding him in our arms in bed as he went through the final movements and transition.
Yeah.
And my wife, Amrita, she was holding him and actually had the sensation of him going right through her.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, and I just, it was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you know, like people say to me that they never have a pet because of, you know, you lose them. And even though I've lost my pets, and I know you're as much of an animal lover as I am, that, you know, all of our animals that come to us, they're coming to us to teach us a lesson. Mm-hmm. They choose us. We don't choose them.
Right.
And what was so amazing around our story with Molly was that we rescued her at 3 months old. She's a little beautiful little Shih Tzu, fit in the palm of my hand. She was badly abused by a man at 3 months old, rescued her from a shelter. And they knew the story. And anytime a man would come near, she would cower down and pee at their feet. And when Ross came into my life, my kids didn't know this was a man I was dating, and until I had come, you know, decided this was Mr. Right before I brought him to our family, right? Mm-hmm. Introduced him. And my kids said, Mom, I don't know who this man is, but Molly has picked him to be your husband. And, you know, he look at Molly. Molly loves him. So it was interesting because it was Ross, my husband Ross. We actually nicknamed my husband Snow White because he's just so great with animals. And here, you know, it was him working with her that helped her to trust men again. And here she chose him to be with her when he went, or when she went. So it's just amazing, you know, when you look back at the animals we have, what they've taught us, and, you know, even right down to me seeing how strong I was and saying, you know, you gave me so much that I let you go. I love you and I let you go. And there has not been a day go by since, you know, I reconnected with Rocky after I lost him, that he's always right there at my feet. And you know, he sleeps beside me. You can see the bed dinting down and the other dogs will move. And it's just, it's just an incredible feeling to have an animal. And I can't say enough about that. So if you're listening, go to your local shelter and adopt a pet, please.
There are a lot of them out there. There certainly are.
There is. Yeah.
And you bring to mind my what I will consider my first dog. His name was Alfie, and he was a border collie, a terrier, I think, mix. Unfortunately, I was not able to keep him through my divorce to my first wife, and then I found out that they actually had to put him down because he started snapping at people. And as soon as I heard that, my first thought was, well, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah.
I really wonder why.
Yeah.
You know, I never really got to know him all that well just because I wasn't at home as much as I would have liked to. But, you know, when I married Amrita and moved in there, there was a pack of four Siberian Huskies. And they were not just a handful, but they were quite an experience for me to learn from. It was, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in spite of the process that we went through, in terms of, letting them go. And, probably the most valuable lesson from all of them I learned was it is so important that if you have other animals in the home that you need to let that process happen in their presence with them.
Yes.
Do not extract that animal who's transitioning from that environment because the rest of them have no clue as to what's happened. When we did that for one of the last Siberians, the grieving, I've never seen an animal grieve.
Oh, I know what you're saying by that.
Oh,
I know, totally. Yeah, because when we lost Rocky, I'll never forget that howl that Molly had when Rocky crossed.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that to the other side myself. It was so unbelievable.
But that was so important. As a matter of fact, with the two dogs that we brought, we brought three dogs with us, and one of them passed once we moved here. We think we gave him an extra year of life, getting him out of the heat of Phoenix. And he passed in the dog run with my dog, and then we brought my wife's dog at the time into the run so that he could say his goodbyes and so forth. Mm-hmm. But the process just goes on and on because even if you lose one, you want to bring another one back into the family. It's not a process necessarily of replacing.
No.
But that there's that hole, there's that void, and it's a dog-shaped void, so you've got to fill it with a dog.
Yeah, and you know what else I learned, too, is that, like, we had Rocky, and Rocky was going, I thought, downhill, and I adopt this little puppy, Molly. I bring her in, and what happened, she brought him back to life. What was happening, he was, you know, kind of starting to give up, right, because he was lonely, an older dog, even though he was with me all the time, but bringing that second dog in just brought him back to life. Well, they were inseparable, and, you know, he became the mother to Molly, and then what happened, when we lost Rocky, Molly got so depressed, she wouldn't leave the front door, she wouldn't eat. It was terrible what we went through. And the vet said that once you have two animals, you always have to have two because they miss that bond. They miss that having their friends there. And so at one point we had Molly, and then we knew that we were bringing a new puppy, and there was a litter. Friends of ours had a litter, and the puppy was crushed. There was only two puppies that lived. Six of them were crushed and killed. And so the owner knew that I was a healer and asked if I would take one of the puppies because she was going to have to put him down. If not, because he was having a crushed hip and all kinds of problems. Well, I worked with him, did Reiki and lots of energy work. And that's Willie, our little Shih Tzu, who's gone on to help a lot of people. And then when we brought him in, so we had Molly, then we had Willie. And then what happened, gosh, it's 3 years ago now, my daughter rescued a little shih-tzu that was abandoned. A litter of puppies were abandoned in an apartment. The guys had a litter of puppies, took the mother, and just left the litter. And they were there for a long time without the mother. I don't know how many days they were left like that. And the dog was covered in fleas, and it was a mess. And when my daughter saw this, she rescued the puppy. Then she couldn't keep it because she had her house full of animals, and she asked if we would take it. So I said, well, we'll break Ross in easily. And I said to Ross that, you know, hon, we have to like look after this puppy for our daughter, because it's just going to be for a couple of weeks. We're just going to keep him for a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. You know, that a hint for anyone listening, that's the trick. That's how you do it.
I know.
And I knew that dog was meant for Ross. I knew that Gus was meant for him. And they bonded right away. But Gus had issues because he was kind of messed up from losing his mother and abandoned all that. He had a lot of emotional issues. And you look at him, he'd turn around, lift his leg and pee on our bed frame, or he'd pee on the couch. And it was like, I don't know if this dog is going to live till tomorrow if he doesn't stop lifting his leg and peeing, you know. But then we learned that it's because of when they're taken from the mother too young, this is what kind of stuff can happen.
Right.
So we did a lot of work, the both of us, with this puppy. And Gus recently turned 4. He comes on TV with me. We go on, we have Animal Planet, you have the Animal Planet, we have Pet Network here in Canada.
Okay.
And he's been on TV shows with me on that channel. He's gone to nursing homes with us, and he's quite the celebrity party puppy. And he's Ross's dog.
Well, I've had that happen with a cat, but I wanted to share one other dog story, and that is, you said about when there are two, they need to stay two.
Yeah.
It was August 27th of 2012 when my wife's partner and companion passed away.
Okay.
And very suddenly and traumatically. And, you know, and of course, the first thought after getting through the initial grieving process is, of course, that, well, I want to get another dog. And mm-hmm. my first thought was not no, but we need to wait, because my dog was grieving.
Okay.
And I said, she needs time to grieve, mm-hmm. and she needs time to be the only animal.
Okay.
The only dog, I should say, not animal, but the only dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it wasn't until after the first of the year of 2013 mm-hmm. that we finally made the decision, okay, we're going to start looking. And she'd been doing all kinds of searching on the internet and so forth. And I wasn't thrilled about the idea of shipping a dog from somewhere, a puppy, that I just thought, man, that's just so traumatic. They need to stay right where they are and find a home.
Yeah.
We found someone here locally. We found a beautiful a male King Shepherd. His name is Angus, and we brought him in, and Makushla, my dog, just became mama and started taking care of him right away.
Yeah.
He grew way too fast. We really liked the little puppy, but we love the much bigger dog. He's got to be skirting close to 90 or 100 pounds by now. And
oh, gosh. You got horses, not dogs there, my friend.
Well, here's what's interesting is December 22nd of 2012 was when he was born.
Okay.
Which was the day after, of course, the winter solstice. Also the day after our 10-year anniversary. It was the day after I had knee surgery that, if I hadn't, I don't know how I would have been able to relate with this dog, and mm-hmm. also and my knee. And so many things just sort of just kind of came together.
Yeah.
And he was born on the 22nd. It was interesting, the date, 12/22/12. And is a great dog. He really is, and he's a lot of fun, his temperament is such that my wife refers to the larger breeds as the gentle giants.
Okay.
I'm certainly hoping that he will be somewhat of a gentle giant, but not lose that playfulness that he has. He's a soccer dog too.
Oh, good for him!
I found a soccer ball. And he can pick it up with his mouth. It's not fully inflated. And he'll run around and he'll let me kick it and he'll chase it. And every time I walk down the steps into the backyard, he goes and grabs the ball thinking, oh, we're going to play.
Yeah.
And I'm out there to do lawn work.
Yeah. Well, you know, but don't you find that every animal that you have is teaching you a lesson?
Yeah.
You know, it goes back. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, here with Gus, we call him the party puppy, because when we're working, he'll come over and he'll say, you know, he'll kind of just come over and he'll do this stretch and wags his tail. It's like, okay, stop working. Time to go for a walk, or let's go play with the ball or something. And we both tap into listening to our animals. And it's just, you know, they guide us when we're too focused and we need to take a break and go for a walk or whatever. They make it wear.
One of the greatest lessons I think that both my wife and I have learned from the animals, and she, I think, probably learned it years ago with the Siberians, is that, and with Angus, this was my perspective, still is, animals do, whether it's dogs or cats or whatever, they do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Your job as their master, if you will, their owner, is to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Angus makes a mess in his space, there's a reason. Either A, because we left him in there too long, or because he has a digestive little problem, what have you, or he's upset. Yeah. But he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the mistake that a lot of pet owners make is that when an animal, quote unquote, misbehaves, there's a reason. And they didn't misbehave.
No,
they behaved in a way to get your attention.
Yeah. Well, adding to that, when we travel, we can't take our suitcases out until last minute because our one dog, and it's the party puppy, I know, he will pee right beside my suitcase because he's mad that I'm not taking him. And we travel quite a bit.
Oh, wow.
And it's gotten to be that we pull it out like last minute. We'll have our stuff laying out on a chair or something, and then we pack the suitcase. But once the suitcase comes up, they know we're going away.
Yeah.
And we actually have to say, okay, we're going away. We'll be bringing treats back for you. You'll have an awesome time. We'll miss you. And I send Reiki to the dogs every day.
Oh, great.
And that's when I hear from the dog sitter. We have a dog sitter come and stay at our home with them. And they'll say, oh, you know, you must have sent Reiki again because they started eating. You know, they felt your energy.
Oh,
and
great.
That's what we've had to do. But, oh, make me feel guilty as anything, I got to tell you.
Well, my dog, Makushla, every time I go out the front door, she wants to come with me, especially if she knows that I'm going to be coming down to do a ball game or something, because she's a car dog, and she just wants to go for a ride, and she wants to go with Daddy.
Yeah.
You know.
There's something else, eh?
Yeah, which, for by the way, I never expected to be called because I have no human children. But nonetheless, I've got lots of animal children.
They're your children.
I have a couple final questions that I wanted to ask you before we wrap up the program. And just as a reminder to our listeners, this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Sue London, and her new book is out. It is called Soar Above It All. Who is Sue London?
Who is Sue London? Sue London is a wife, is a mom, is a grandma, huge animal lover, is a radio host, is somebody on a mission of helping people cope and move forward with their life.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
What do I hope to achieve? Just to help people to have the life that they only dreamed about having. Help them to create the life that they desire.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
Very powerful once we tap into our inner self.
Sue London, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great. Really enjoyed it. And we hope to have you back again. You've got obviously lots to say. And again, that other radio station that you can be heard on, I'm going to guess they probably stream too. Most everybody does these days.
Yes. Yeah. You can actually hear the shows live or archived. You can hear it through WBLQ 1230 AM radio. Or, you know, it's even easier if you go to my website, asksuelondon.com, click the radio tab, and there's different places that you can hear the show. And you can hear some archive shows and great stuff.
Super. Sue London, thank you so much once again for joining us.
Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time. Love to Lal.